Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 1, we were talking about the 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Let's continue with that thought today.
My feet on this firm foundation for the Bible says.
The 7-year tribulation period that the Bible prophecies speak about, even here in the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, we read about it. There we read it here. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for the iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now let me stop here. 70 weeks, every day stands for a year. And so 70 weeks would be 490 years. Now, so keep that in mind. Know ye therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, not just the temple, but Jerusalem, unto Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. That's 483 years. The street shall be built again, and the walls even in troublous times. And of course, that was built back in the when Artaxerxes in 445 BC approximately made that decree. They started it, and they were back in the land, and they remained there until Jerusalem was destroyed in A.D. 70. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Okay, that was about 40 years before Jerusalem was destroyed, but so those 40 years are part of the 483 years, the ending part of the 483 years, but there's still a 7-year period to go. There is a law after that. Now, when you see here, he says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood unto the end of the war. Desolations are determined. Now, what I want you to see is that there's about a 35-40 year period between the Messiah being cut off and destruction of Jerusalem, but that's all considered together, so it's all part of that 483 years. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who is that he? Well, that is the Antichrist, the beast. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That is 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. So he says, after they're restored, after that desolation, they're restored, and then on goes the millennial kingdom. But isn't that interesting that Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27 is talking about what's going to happen, and we've seen the things happen that in the first part where he said, from the time of the commandment, Artaxerxes, till they go, the cutting off the Messiah, and that's what happened. And it's a 483-year period. So the Bible is so accurate. Just believe it. Just simply believe it. We're waiting for the 70th week. Why it's the delay? I don't know. It's like there was a delay between the cutting off of Messiah and the destruction of Jerusalem. The cutting off of Messiah was the 483 years, but then, although it's part of it, it's another 40 years later, but it's still within that 483 framework, is the destruction of Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 20 and 21. Again, this is Old Testament talking about the rapture. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were for a moment, until the indignation be past. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Now, God calls his people out, come out of her, my people. That's the rapture. They're taken to the chambers of heaven. And the rest of this verse speaks of the indignation, which is that of the he who once destroyed with a flood of waters the world. In verse 20 there, he says, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were but for a moment, until the indignation be overpass. Now these are God's words coming out. Okay? These are God's words. In verse 21, he speaks of Armageddon at the end of the indignation, the tribulation, that 7-year period, which Revelation 16 tells us that the blood there will go to the horse's bridle. In verse 21 again, he said there, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Okay, that's coming at the end of the tribulation. We read about Armageddon. And so, that's what he talks about. But then the second half of that verse shows us the totality of the destruction when Christ sets up his millennial kingdom and he builds it. Not us, he builds it. For there he says, the earth also shall disclose her blood and shall cover no more the slain. And again, that's talking about the blood to the horse's bridle. Now, Nineveh itself of that day would be destroyed, the day of our text, would be destroyed by invading armies, of which I could, we'll say more later as we go through this study, and the flood of waters that hit it. But see also that those who stood at the last suffered for. In Revelation chapter 13, we find that whoever will not receive the mark of the beast shall be put to death. I can see many who at first say they believe in Christ. Now they're denying him that they may save their neck. As they're saying, receive this mark or be put to death. You can't buy, sell, trade without it, and you may die from it. All the world wonders after the beast, especially after Revelation 11 when he kills the two witnesses. Don't be deceived by present prosperity and present popularity. God will judge, by the way. God will judge. And so don't be deceived by those things. And people are so easily deceived in those things. Well, don't be deceived. So after saying the day of the trouble will come, we see that there is an overrunning flood here in verse 8. Again, but with an overrunning flood, he'll make an utter end of the place thereof. The Ninevites were people and government that highly persecuted their own, let alone others outside the walls of their city. The Lord has a boundary for the oceans and rivers. The stars have a course that he set. They were set by him, and he is still God. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, but he's still God. When Jordan floods and it overruns its banks, and the overrunning breaks beyond its boundaries, therefore it affects things beyond the boundary. The flood speaks not only of the violent army, it speaks of a torrent of violence. With the blood flowing, that flood removes the former boundaries, and they are no longer safe as they are hit with a violent torrent of tribulation and judgment. Now, that'll happen in Nineveh, and the waters will, there'll actually be a flood of waters to take it out. But what a picture of not only the armies that come against Nineveh that day, as a flood of waters broke down the walls of Nineveh, allowing those armies of the enemy to come in and destroy it, which before they couldn't do it. Because Nineveh wasn't really located near a big river of any kind. And isn't it interesting when God destroys it? When God does it, it's gone. I mean, do you realize that nobody found a trace of Nineveh until the late 1800s? People actually walked over the sand. Alexander the Great rode his chariots over that sand, not knowing that that very sand that was underneath the chariot's wheels once stood the world's number one power, Nineveh, of the Assyrian power. Well, we jump over the history of time, and we see the kings of the east in the tribulation making their way. In Revelation 9, it talks about an army of 200 million men making their way, killing a third of the world population on their way. And in that 1040 window, because these are the kings of the east, in that 1040 window, they could kill a third part of the world's population, because most of the world population is in that area. We're told that they march going towards Israel. They march for 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, and 1 hour. Now, I sometimes tease my wife about that, because her daddy died when she was 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day old, you know. And I try to tease her every once in a while. I say, well, you know what? You may be the beast of the revelation. And we laugh about that. But when you see this, though, they're coming in as a flood of locusts, swarming in, while a shower of meteorites pelt the earth, weighing as much as a talent, 100 pounds, with a torrential pounding of the land and everything that's in its way. And you see that in Revelation chapter 16. It is with an overrunning flood of waters that God destroyed the Ninevites in that day. But it is in the end of the tribulation that Jesus Christ will return, and he will make an utter end thereof. Now, it is interesting that the word make here in this verse has the idea of to make, build, create something. By context, it shows make to mean the Lord has a moral obligation. The return of Christ has with it a moral obligation.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.com. org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant.